Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2011 Alleluia Conference. In this session titled, Creating Worship That Flows, Randall Bradley discusses how worship transitions can be artistic, thoughtful, and well-intentioned. This session will offer practical suggestions to move worship from a series of disparate elements to becoming a unified whole. To learn more about the Alleluia Conference, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
Topic that when I've led worship for this conference and for other events around the country, that people ask the most about is how did you do the between things? And actually, I've never sat down and just really tried to figure that out. It's a bit more innate, and I would say that I've learned a lot about how to do it, but I have never really sat down until this experience and tried to write out some of those things. And then I ran this by some of my former students and said, "What can you think of that you've seen me do that is not on here?" So I got some of their input and figured some of that stuff out too. I wanted us to start off today by give me a subject. We want some just subject, random subjects. Could you, what's a subject or a topic?
Economy. Okay.
Something else?
Just church related?
Yeah, anything. Just
fishing.
Oh my.
Jesus fishing.
Okay, Jesus. Fishing? What else? We need a lot. Let's do five.
It's like Ken Miedema, isn't it?
Not quite.
Random words, yeah. Makes a song.
Yeah. Yeah, don't set that high bar. All right. Yeah. Another.
Heat wave.
Okay, what else?
Football.
One more.
Pizza.
Okay. Now let's play a little game that I played in high school once, and let's have start off with Amy. And since we're over here, let's just start going down the line, and let's have Amy talk. Why don't we put these in one? Well, that's too close. Four, five. Okay, and let's have Amy start talking about pizza, and then have her transition toward economy, and then let's have Michelle start with fishing, take Amy's lead, she's gonna set you up for economy, and you go for fishing, and transition into heat wave, and then Lizette will go from heat wave to football. Okay, and so you're gonna set the other person up where kind of like a good transition, I lead you to say the following.
Okay. So, pizza originated in Italy, but boosted our economy greatly. So therefore,
The economy is greatly affected by the fishing industry, which has been not as fruitful this year because of the massive heat wave.
And when there is a heat wave, football games are not enjoyable.
All right, good. And we could have put a lot of verbiage in there if it weren't 8 o'clock between each one of us. You know, talked a whole lot about pizza and how important it is, and we love it, and that's why it's important. And football is all about heat, and yeah, I mean, it's a thousand connections between seemingly unrelated things. Okay, now let's keep that sort of in the back of our minds as we move forward. So, what is worship flow? Worship flow. Connections between and among worship elements. So the way that worship elements are either put together or not, and sometimes they're very, very random in my assessment. But how are they put together and what goes between them? I've come to the place where I think in a sort of seamless worship model, what we do between the elements needs almost as much attention as the element itself. So how they're connected. And people in our culture really do appreciate and want connections. It's quite important, I think. Ways to connect worship, thought, feeling, and mood. So it's not just about music. It's not just about one thing, but thought, feeling, and mood. How do I feel, and how do I connect that feeling, transition that feeling into this feeling? Okay, imagine you're having a conversation with an important, a significant other. And the person is talking about, how was my day? And my wife is talking about her day and her students and how she interacted with them. And then I say, you know, well, now what is it we're going to do Saturday afternoon? Okay. What kind of response am I going to get?
Are you even listening to me?
Yeah.
There you go. Not very effective. Okay. Well, how does that work in worship? Okay, are you picturing that? Weird experiencing this, and then suddenly it's just like, pop, you know, something that we cannot, we've had no setup for that, we've had no connection. You know, I wonder what your students are doing on Saturday, and by the way, what are we doing? I don't
know. The
person
that comes up to give the opportunity prayer decides to give an announcement about the whatever. And then just completely unrelated.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It and
happens all.
Yeah, now that I have the microphone. Sometimes, I'll just be really honest with you, even on this recording, sometimes I've just sort of put those people on the don't call list. ask them to pray that when I'm going to be on vacation. Over time, I try to build relationships with people, so I say, you know, let's stay right with this because we've already set this up, and anything, an additional scripture you add or an additional announcement or word of testimony, you know, occasionally it works, but most of the time it doesn't. Logical transitions that eases the worshiper from element to element. So I like to think in worship of I have an image of things being built on pillows and soft places, so we don't ever have a hard bump. We don't ever just land from a tall spot and hit the ground and can't grab our feet. There's always, we're either eased down through a rope or we have a pillow to jump on, or there's a trampoline in which we bounce and then come back, or there's something that softened the blow, so everything has an easier feel. So that's sort of an image that I try to, my visual self sort of keeps in mind. Just as an effective modulation is a way to move a person's tonal center, or your ear, to a new key with ease and grace, worship flow accomplishes the same goal among worship elements. So, think about, as musicians, what does a modulation do? And how do you know if it were a good modulation or a not-so-good modulation? Think about that. We've heard 1,000 already probably this week. Not 1,000, but, you know, 200. So what does a good modulation do? Kind of describe that.
It easily puts you comfortable in the new key.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel like, wait, where the heck did we go?
Yeah. And I'm always intrigued by modulations. I mean, I can do them and kind of find my way around them. But the one on Tuesday, this is Thursday, the one on Tuesday in the worship, the modulation between A flat of All Hail the Power and B flat, he was there before I really didn't even catch the moment that he moved
right,
us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm real conscious of modulations. And I'm theoretically conscious of them usually, so my brainy side tries to see where we're going theoretically, you know, because I'm interested in all those things. But he just took us there, and I thought, no, I don't know how we got there, you know, and I didn't catch it, really. Just kind of moved us there. Well, that's a really, really good modulation, is when your ear is certainly in a new place, and you can't return to the old place. You can't go back immediately and sing in the new key because you are in a different place now. And it's literally like picking your ear up and moving it to a new location. And your surroundings have changed, literally. So that's a bit of what that's kind of what this is to worship, in my way of thinking. A way of helping the body, the ear, the mood, the mind, the senses to move towards something new. Now, and so that's more now than just the ear, but the body itself. What if we want people to stand, or we want them to sit, or we want something else to happen? We have to move the body to a new place. So when we ask people to stand, how are we going to do that graciously? How are we going to facilitate that? At what point do we want them to stand in the transition? And I try to think through those things. So I'll say, if we're going to play a whole stanza, then I'm not going to ask them to stand at the beginning of that stanza, or if it's an extended modulation, say musically, I want them to stand at some point where they're standing in time to be totally prepared and ready, but not standing so long that they're thinking, why in the world are we standing now? And how's this connect? So even those kinds of things. So you transition the whole body, the whole self. The mood. Mood is a big thing, and we're going to spend some time talking about how to get from one place to the other, mood-wise. But the mind. See, a lot of times there are thoughts that you can't just jump from this, like the, you know, how was your day, to now what are we going to do on Saturday, in the middle of that when you're telling a story about something that happened with a student today. You can't just jump from one thing to the other. And so how do we transition the mind, and how do we find the connection, see, to move the mind to, well, fishing is important, and a heat wave has really inhibited fishing this year. And now we're thinking about heat waves, see. We've transitioned that thought process. And senses, our senses have to be changed. For instance, we'll talk about some barriers in a second. Have you been in a situation before where it was very, the lighting was very subdued, and then suddenly the light was very bright, and you're shocked by that, you know, or the opposite. So that's a sensory kind of experience. Or the volume was very low, and the volume was then very high. There was one mistake on Tuesday where the volume hit really hot for just, hopefully, it's just 1 second, and then things, and then it got adjusted immediately. But a sensory shock. When I opened these windows this morning, these blinds were closed, and I opened them very carefully and very gingerly because I didn't want to shock the room with too much light, even though there were just like three of us in here. And I wanted to be sure that the light in here, so I gradually kind of opened it and tried to figure, I want some light because I needed some light this morning and thought you might as well at this time of morning. But I didn't want to be us to be shocked by light. Yeah. So as you move from one space to another, ideally you need transition space. Do you notice that places like Disney World and things like that, when you're in very dark spaces, then they gradually bring you into lighter spaces and then release you into the sunlight. And then they kind of bring you down. Those kind of intentional things. Not that we can be Disney World, but you know, the idea. Why should worship flow? I think that worship flow aids the worshiper in making connections. It helps the worshiper to connect different elements and to make sense of those elements and to see what the continuity of those elements that maybe you're trying to highlight. I would also say in most worship settings, you can read the same scripture in many worship services and highlight a different aspect of that same scripture. If you've ever preached a sermon or you've preached from the lectionary, for instance, where everybody has the same scripture and it's amazing how many different sermons could come out of one scripture or how many songs might come from one thing. I've been interested through the years to use songs that might seem to fit one context and yet they're very usable in another. For instance, a few years ago, I had a student group that were assigned to plan a worship service around a parent-child dedication or a baby baptism or whatever your denominational thing. But they were responsible for that. Well, the group used the song, the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." Okay, why does anybody know that hymn well enough to say why would you use that hymn? Who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way. Which was a great, great line in that hymn. And I had not ever connected that hymn with parents and children and blessing and sending us on our way. But it was a place where I just thought, Thanksgiving, you know, that's a great Thanksgiving hymn. But it was one of those places where there was a real good connection in there, which was brilliant. Now, what would be an example of a connection that might... Well, there are connections that are so strong that they can't transit, that they can't be recontextualized. Can you think of any that we have in church that really aren't quite, may not quite work? Well, I've seen people try to use Joy to the World in a different time other than Christmas and say, well, this is really not a Christmas song. This is all about the joy that Christ brings to the world. And then I've seen it imposed in, you know, some other time. Well, it just doesn't work because it has too much baggage within one setting to be changed. There are some tunes that I don't think can move, that can shed their context. What might be an example of a tune that you think is so wedded to a text that it might not be able to be recast?
I know it's been done, but for me, the Londonderry air,
yeah,
with other texts, all I can think of is Danny Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think tunes like Amazing Grace, you know, there's not anything else I think in the same meter as How Great Thou Art, but some texts that are just so lodged, you know, and then there are tunes that like Heiferdahl and, you know, things like that that just fit Beach Spring that, you know, so work, so flow and can be recast. But there's some things that just can't because they have too many things already. So the connection might not be possible. Worship flow avoids unnecessary distractions. It keeps us from being distracted by something that really isn't what we want to be focused on. So what we're trying to do in a worship service always has an element of control because we're trying to control the environment in the best kinds of ways of using the word control, or restrict the environment, and we're trying to funnel people towards certain things. And so what we're trying to do is eliminate the distractions, eliminate the things we don't want to be considered, to highlight the ones we do. So anytime we have thematic worship, it's always about trying to highlight the part of something that we're wanting to highlight and minimize the part of it that we're not wanting to be prominent. Because there no, if we're thinking thematically, rarely is there, well, not rarely, these days there's so many songs available to us that you really can find a good song for a lot of things. But it might not be something that your congregation knows. So a lot of times you have to say, well, what's a song that has a theme within it that fits here? Now, how do we then highlight that part of it that we want to use? It's like, you have a painting. Okay, recently was in Kenya on a trip with a group of Baylor students. So I bought a painting from a Kenyan artist Brendan and I were there together, and we bought it. I didn't buy it. We bought this painting that we really liked. Well, came time to go get the painting framed. We buy things a lot, and then we stick them in a tube, and then they get in the back of the closet. And so this time we decided we're really going to come home and frame this thing, you know, and figure out what to do with it. So we did. Well, Brenda said, I think you would, you know, basically she said, you go frame it, because I tend to be more interested in that than she. And so I went to Hobby Lobby, which is where I always go to frame. This is the cheapest place you can frame anything. So I went to Hobby Lobby, and I spent, you know, like an hour and a half in there with these girls trying to figure out how this would look best. Finally, I couldn't find anything I thought was right. We kept on and kept on trying and trying. Finally, they said, well, I really don't think this will work, but, well, I thought it worked beautifully. And so we had this thing framed. But in the process of that framing, what are you looking at? What's the purpose of the frame?
It creates a barrier between what's around the picture.
Okay, so it limits you, it makes this your world. So it focuses on what you want to focus on, okay? What else does the frame do?
It also should complement the picture as well.
Yes.
It enhances certain elements within it.
Yeah, it brings out what you want to bring. It draws your attention to, you can frame something and one color stands out in one way, another color would stand out with a different frame. If you get into matting, you got a whole other level of things. Okay, you see how this framing thing does it. So what we're doing with these transitions is we're framing something in a way that enhances what we want to be enhanced. Well, this frame that I ended up choosing, it was a kind of community element out here in Hobby Lobby. But what we ended up doing, it has lines in the frame, but this painting has baskets in it. So a bunch of different baskets. And so these lines just bring out these moments where these people are coming to this African market with baskets. And so you see the connection. And everybody that's seen that painting the last couple of weeks said, oh, wow, that's a great frame. It has an African, like it feels about Africa, but it's not really Africa. But it, and they talk about the connections. So that's kind of what we're trying to do here. Worship flow shows thoughtful planning. It shows that you have thought through something carefully. Now, why is, the big question, just a couple of comments. So why is thoughtful planning something you really want people to know or to see? Why is that a good thing if somebody knows that you spent a lot of time planning it?
Because
validates your position.
Okay, all right. Validates that you're doing your job, okay. What else?
Demonstrates the importance of what we're doing.
Okay, we spend time on the things that are important to us, right? Okay, what else? Well, you know, kind of taking off on that theme, how does it feel when you go to somebody's house for dinner and they're not running around at the last minute trying to figure out what we're going to have and, you know, put the TV dinner in the microwave? And there's an element of grace to what's happening, and there's an element of a prepared table. And how does that feel to you when you're in that moment?
You don't feel like they really planned for your arrival, for that you're really a true guest, and it's a special occasion. It's just, come on, let's all get together and eat, grab the silver, you know.
Yeah. And that can be okay, you know, that's a good thing too. But hospitality and being hospitable, one of the ways that we plan for something, therefore we say, this is very important. I value your being here. I valued your presence here. And I thought about it in advance. So it's always nice for somebody to have prepared for your, it's an act of hospitality. And I've just recently finished a book that I turned in last week. It has a whole chapter on music as, the music of the church is hospitality, and how we offer hospitality through the music, or how we should be offering hospitality through the music, and how that's, I think, a major theme of what we need to be doing within music. And this is one way that that might happen. Assist the worshiper in maintaining focus. I tried to find some research in the last couple of weeks. I didn't try hard enough, but I did try to find some research on how, what is our attention span these days? And I kept getting so many varied definitions that I didn't find any really great research that I was that was easily accessible. But it's not very long. So if we don't help people to stay focused, and we give them moments for distraction, we give them opportunities for distraction, then the distractions are going to be even worse. The more barriers we create by saying, by having this, and then over here, you know, randomness, then the harder it's going to be to keep us focused and funneled in a direction. Creates worship momentum. It helps us to move, to keep moving towards something. Well, what is it that we're trying to move toward in worship? Could be different answers. Okay, in some traditions, the sermon is the focus, or it should be the focus. It might actually not be when you get there, but we would hope that it would be. Okay, the word, so you said the word. And then
preparing our hearts and your minds for meditation.
And maybe communion in other traditions. The Eucharist or the communion would be a focal point, or the focus, depending on your tradition. So there are different traditions. So we're moving toward those major moments. But I think that everything ought to speak. And the truth is, what becomes the major moment or the pinnacle or climax or something for one of us may not be the same as for someone else. Because how many times do people come to you and say, when we sang whatever today, you know, to me, oh wow, that was what I needed. God spoke to me in that moment, and you know, or whatever. It could be any of those kind of moments. So when we don't focus on all of those and help all of them to connect, then we serve the chance of what could have been really important not being so important. I like to think sometimes of a food analogy. If you have four tables here, you put the same ingredients on four tables, and you assign four different people to prepare a meal with these same ingredients. Okay? For us, you give, at four tables, you assign the same scripture, the same songs, the same people, the same stuff. And all it lacks is how it's all put together. But that's what we do when we prepare worship. It's pretty remarkable how one person can make a masterpiece and another can not. Okay? There you go. We've already talked about toward a climactic moment, which can be different, and we've talked about that. Okay, how is worship flow achieved? I think that the most effective spontaneity is planned. Okay, so
rehearsed.
Yeah. So some level of rehearsed spontaneity, and I think that has a little bit to do with who we are and our and our enjoyment of spontaneity or our ability to function within spontaneity. But so often, spontaneity means lack of planning. If you really get down to a definition of spontaneity, in practical terms, it means I just didn't plan, therefore I responded at the moment.
Thank you again for listening to this podcast. To learn more about the Alleluia Conference, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.